Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Final hour of Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe George, Raquel Ramazanali here with you guys today. Raquel will be back tomorrow and Wednesday with Renato and Dell. So a big-time reunion happening on the station. Michael Connor will join me tomorrow. Probably talk a lot of Astros tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. You won't get much Astros talk from me.
Yeah, it's kind of a quiet season. Some rumors this weekend over, some stuff going on with the Cardinals about who the Astros are calling about and who they're willing to part with potentially in deals with the St. Louis Cardinals. But we'll get into more of that tomorrow. Before we get to some NBA stuff here, in this segment, though, just going to kind of recap or kind of finish off our conversation there about CJ Stroud. So he's had two concussions now. You know, that's where Tua was at. Tua had two concussions. They paid him his contract. He had his third. And now he's been good since, but that was still last year. So, like, since is only a season. What's your concern level in terms of paying CJ Stroud from a health perspective? Because, like, unfortunately, concussions are hard to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen what happened with, you know, like, C.J. Fedorowicz had to retire early. We've seen quarterbacks deal with concussions, like, again, like Tua, where it's like it has altered their career in a way. And I do think when you put a $60 million price tag on someone as a franchise quarterback, like, it adds to the stress of that. So how much, like, do you factor that when you think about if I was the GM paying C.J. Stroud?
None. Okay. Because if he's out with an insurance or with another concussion, my understanding is there is a clause in there, right? Like, you won't have to pay that salary, right?
Yeah,
you can protect yourself with the insurance claims and all that stuff. So there is that, right? I don't know if that's what it's called, but my understanding, there is something there protecting the team, right? So I'm not that worried, but even let's take that out of the scenario. You do have to be worried for just this person's health. Mm-hmm. That if he suffers one more, do you push it forward? Do you say, like, hey, we want you back? Or does he even say, like, hey, I think I'm going to risk it all and go for one more run at this?
It's a tough question, because I remember, like, when Tua got his third, like, the next day on First Take, the conversation was, and I don't watch those shows, but, like, it's hard to avoid the clips. Sometimes, like, the conversation was, and really in general, and I'm sure we were having it too in some capacity, of, like, should Tua retire?
Right? Yes.
And my response then, and if CJ were to have another one, is, like, that's his call. Like, I'm not going to tell someone, like, what C.J. Fedorowicz did, it was the right decision for him. He had a bunch of concussions when he was playing tight end for the Texans, and he decided, like, he was going to hang it up. But Fedorowicz was never in the same position that C.J. Stroud was in, mm-hmm. which is that if the Texans are scared to pay him money because of the concussions, someone else will pay him that. Like, he could get traded to the Rams after next year and be Matt Stafford's replacement, and they will pay him $60 million.
For sure.
The Browns will pay him $60 million.
The Browns will for sure do it.
Yes, yeah, like, they will pay, like, another team would pay him. So, like, from, like, a him perspective, like, if he's, like, he's going to get his money. It's more of, like, would he want to continue? You never know. Like, still, I mean, still maybe the most shocking moment, I think, in sports for a lot of us is, like, that's injury related. It's always going to be Andrew Luck. Like, no one ever expected that. Like, during a preseason game, I think against the Bears, like, he's on the sideline, and then it's breaking news, Andrew Luck's going to retire on Monday. And it came out of nowhere, and it's like, you never know if that's going to happen. So, like, I always say, like, it's up to the player. Like,
yes, it's up to the player, but at what point do you start protecting somebody? Like, hey, man. Like, I thought after the 201 where his whole body went stiff and all that, I was like, oh, that dude is done playing football. Nobody in his circle should be like, hey, man, give it one more run at this. But he did it.
Yeah. I think the Texans have a responsibility.
Yeah. Until you sign the waiver and you're like, hey, man.
Yeah.
But, like, hey, you're just, yeah. But, like, the Texans, like, okay, you're going to play, then can we make sure? I don't know how that works. Like, is he going to sign a bunch of stuff saying that in the future I can't
probably not
sue, like, you, or yeah, I can't do anything
because
this is my decision?
Yeah, I would guess the answer is no. Like, they've tried with the CTE stuff to protect them. Like, there's only so much you can do. Like, that's where
he'll get double the payout.
Independent contracts, independent doctors come in, the neurologist. For CJ and, like, for the Texans, it's just, like, it's the risk versus the reward. Mm-hmm. And you just have to figure out, like, as a team, including CJ Stroud, David Mulugeta, the Texans medical staff, Caserio, D'Amico, like, how do you protect CJ Stroud going forward? Like, is it taking, you know, everyone kind of laughed at it, but like, is it taking jujitsu classes like Tua took to like learn how to fall better? Like, that's not why CJ got hurt.
No, it's not like, going to help.
He got hurt. Like, Tua got hurt being ragdolled in the backfield.
Yeah.
CJ got hurt because his offseason sliding lessons didn't take. And it was one of the worst slides we've seen in the NFL this year. Like, he didn't protect himself. So, like, that's to me is like, I think that's where, like, they're different. Like, Tua is, like, just getting, like, thrown around because he's so small. CJ just has to do a better job protecting himself when he has the ball in his hands and he's out of the pocket.
What about those big, the big cushioned helmets things? Are those, or is there any studies being done on that? Like, is that helping?
It is. I mean,
wear one of those.
It's not, I mean, you can't, well, it's hard. It's hard to say they're helping because the concussion data in the NFL is pointing in the right direction. The NFL, though, is saying, like, they're pointing mostly towards the kickoff and kick return rules that they've changed.
Okay.
That, like, that's where the most concussions are happening in a game is on kickoff return. And whether that's from the wedges that they used to be formed, and then now they've gotten the long run taken out of it, and now it's this, like, no short version of it, which is fine. Like, it's been, I think it has made it more exciting, and it's been healthier for players. But, like, you know, the people aren't really wearing it. Like the Guardian caps. Like, I don't think we're going to see CJ Stroud in one this week.
Please wear one.
And I think you should, yeah.
You like, should. Why wouldn't you?
At least for this season.
I know the vibes aren't right. The That's swag's the not. And it does, but who cares?
But they care.
You know what I would... You know what I like better than that? Is, like, not getting concussions and not potentially being eliminated from my profession because of a bunch of memes. It's like, give me that damn thing.
But, like... They care. They care too much. I mean, and this is the same guy who I think one of the dumbest discussions we've had to have around a quarterback. And I get why. I do get why it upset people. So I don't want to, like, discount those people.
Okay.
But, like, the Seattle Mariners hat stuff with CJ Stroud, I don't get it. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, he's not trying to be disrespectful. He cares about how he looks and how he dresses. And that's where it goes in with the Guardian cap. Like, they're not going to wear it because they care about their swag more than they care about their health. They care about how they look on the field versus
staying
on
the field. That can't be it with CJ, though.
I hope not.
I know. I think even with any player, that can't be it. Like, the swag. I hope it's not. Come on. Like, who cares? What? Like, because someone's going to meme you? Is that, you know, potentially not going to protect your head?
I mean,
and your career?
To me, there's no other excuse for him not to wear it.
I think it's two different arguments. Two totally different things.
I think they're the same. Like, I think that's why we don't see more people wearing them. Like, there's like one or two players on the Texans that wear them this year.
But you just said concussion data is down, right?
It is, yeah.
So that means there are less. So there's less people dealing with it, so less people would wear it.
Yeah. And and most people who wear it are on kickoff and kickoff return.
Yeah.
Like, I think watching, like, when I watch the Bears games, like, the only person I see out there with it regularly is Roschon Johnson. And that's because he's on kickoff. Like, he's not a running back anymore. He's a special teams player for them. Like, and so he's
smart,
running down the field.
UT
like,
player, that's why. Texas education, baby. He's got smart.
That. Yeah, I mean, Texas education better than Ohio State.
Yeah.
Smart. Feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah. Texas education.
I know you're a big NBA guy. So you watch all the games.
I'll literally put on random games.
Good for you.
I'll just put them on because I love watching basketball.
I guess I just don't have enough time anymore, but like having two jobs like kind of takes away from like I have to watch the Rockets and I have to watch the Bulls. So like trying to also then have a 4-year-old and a wife, that's not going to kill me.
Yeah. Plus, I'm not sitting down and watching.
Yeah.
Like when we're eating dinner, when we're winding down for the night,
you'll throw them on.
I'll just put on a game
instead of like a garbage television show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like before it was the local news, and I'll still try to watch the local news. My last job, CityCast Houston, it was a lot more local politics and all that stuff, right? So I would watch the news, see what's happening. But now I'll just put on, like I said, literally Bucks Hornets. It's on. I'm just going to throw it on. I just want to watch it. I love basketball, and I'm like back to playing again. So it's great. Like I consume a lot of basketball. College basketball, I'm going to consume it tonight.
So are you big into college basketball now?
I will. I like watching every UT game. I haven't watched the three that they played or two that they played so far, just because of schedules and whatnot. But tonight, I believe they're playing Arizona State, right? Arizona State tonight.
Sounds
I will watch
right.
that. Yeah, I will watch that tonight.
Yeah, so I'm more into college basketball like once the year turns over. Like I like conference.
I think that's a lot of people. Conference
that's when
games.
I get into it.
Yeah, and that's a fair thing, by the way. Although the good games are right now. like the top 25 matchups happen right now.
Yeah.
Then if you're in the Big 12, you've got good games almost every night. SEC, you've got good games almost every night. Mm-hmm. Big 10, obviously. AC, all the good conferences, you'll have good games. But those marquee matchups start right now. Cougars are playing tonight. They're going to be playing some good games coming up. So I'll watch those. But yeah, for me, Texas Longhorns basketball, I'm watching it. And this might be, I know I'm in the minority because I've seen a Texas football championship while I was at UT.
Yeah.
The one dying sports wish I have, I want to see a college basketball championship.
That's the one?
That's it.
Not the Texans?
No.
UT over Texans?
Yeah, because that's my school.
That makes sense.
I want to see a UT college basketball. Because I've invested so much time into this. Mm-hmm. I literally watch, like, this is the first year I haven't dialed in, like, to start the season. But I'll watch every single UT game.
What is, so, speaking of the NBA,
mm-hmm.
we saw some Ja Morant versus Klay Thompson.
Oh, my gosh. Happening. Okay, on the other side, can
yes, let's get into it.
Let me tease this for everyone.
Okay, go for it.
I think the best thing to happen to the NBA happened over the weekend.
Ooh.
The best thing.
That's next
That's
year.
A tease, buddy. What do you think? Did I hook you?
A plus.
Saluki?
Yeah, you did.
See? Saluki? Yes. AJ? That's the new nickname, by the way.
You gotta say it correctly if you're gonna say it.
Saluki.
All right, that's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe and Raheel here with you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have Soccer Matters coming up at 6 with Glenn Davis, followed by the Bucky McMillan Show coming up at 8 o'clock, the head coach of Texas A&M basketball. Of course, this Friday, we'll have A&M versus UT.
Yeah, but the real Texas A&M Texas matchup is tonight. Do you know what it is?
Volleyball?
It is. SEC title. Or SEC title? Tournament. SEC tournament semifinal. Okay. You got Kentucky more than likely in the winner's game, the championship game. I'm locked in on SEC volleyball because my daughter okay. plays club volleyball, so like she loves Texas volleyball. We went to the game when they were here in Rice. Mm-hmm. They played, it was phenomenal. Amazing athletes, right? So for a 10-year-old to see that,
yeah.
she was like, this is it. I want to go to Texas. I want to go to UT. That's the goal.
Wade Smith's daughter is on the Rice volleyball yeah. team.
We saw him there.
I saw like something this weekend. Apparently like there's just like an NBA to volleyball
pipeline
thing happening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
where it's
huge.
Like the best NBA players, like all their daughters are playing like mm-hmm. D1 volleyball.
Kari Spears, of course, that's Marcus Spears' daughter. Mm-hmm. But his wife, WNBA player, former WNBA player, there is a pipeline for basketball dads to volleyball.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. My wife sent me that yeah. thing on Instagram, and she goes, and now it's Raheel and his daughter. And I'm like, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because we're not saving money for any college. This is all on you to figure this scholarship thing out.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell my daughter every day, I'm like, do not expect college education money. We are not saving for you. We are selfish parents. You better get this scholarship or you will not be going to Texas.
Yeah.
Unless you want to just take on crazy loans with 15% interest and the government doesn't step in on that. And that's the real
that's what I did.
College scandal that's yeah. going on. But of course, we won't address that because rich people get rich off
that's,
of that.
That's what I yeah. did. I just wish they would just like stop the interest payments. I'll pay it all back. But can we yeah. just stop the interest payments on it? Like
exactly.
That would make me very happy. But
or at least make them somewhat bearable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, I don't know.
Let's
like, you're 18
let's
years
not
old.
Loan
like,
shark this.
Yeah, I just didn't know what I signed up for. Like, I get it. I signed up for it. But, like, I look at it now. I'm like, why did I do this? Like,
it's the scummiest thing yeah. that we do. And then we blame, like, college isn't for everyone. College is the worst. What are we doing? Why do people go to college?
Yeah.
Well, the reason everyone's so frustrated now is because of the loans. It's not because of college. It's bad.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, A&M, Texas tonight, volleyball.
Okay.
Friday, Texas, A&M. Scoreboard, Longhorns up right now, 1-0 okay. in the SEC.
All right.
Right? You win that game. I don't think there's an outside. I don't think they're getting in. But man, that's a lot of top 10 wins right there. Vanderbilt, yep. OU, then A&M at home. If you beat them by, let's say, 10 points,
mm-hmm.
are you ready to have the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, so unfortunately for Texas, they're going to have, I think it's almost impossible for them to make the playoffs.
Agreed.
And it's not because, like, the win to me, if they beat A&M, there is an argument that they should be the three-loss team that can make it. Because they'll have, the resume is good, the losses are, they're good losses, like the things that are, like, helping keep Notre Dame in the top 12.
Florida was not a good loss. No, that was disgusting.
But like at the same time, like, but
it was a bad loss.
But it's a swamp. Like it's one of the hardest places to play in college football. The hard part is it's just the way the rankings are shaking out. Like if you're not in the top 10, you're not getting it. Like, it's not a top 12 this year. It's a top 10 because the 11 seed is going to go to whoever wins the ACC. And because they don't, like, and it might not even be, like Miami's ranked 13th right now. They might not even qualify for the ACC championship game. So it might be Virginia, who at the moment, at least in the AP poll, or no, is 17. So, like, it's hard to, it's just with the way the ACC is playing out this year, it's making it much more complicated. And then you're going to have, you know, this North Texas, James Madison combination of teams that's going to be the 12 seed. So, like, you have to get to 10. It's the only way to get in. Because I would rather see a three-loss Texas team in the playoffs than North Texas, than James Madison, than whoever wins the ACC. And like that's why I'm starting to come around to the 2014 playoff, or at least a 16-team playoff.
Because, but if they're left out, then guess what? There's no argument to be made.
No.
And you should have lost to Florida.
Yeah, and if they're a two-loss team, like they're in. Like if they lose...
Okay, that's it.
If they beat Florida, they'd be in the top 12 right now with a chance to rise up. And if they beat A&M, they would jump firmly into the top 10 at this point. And so at this point, it's just scoreboard, right?
What do you do?
Get the win.
What do you do if you're the committee and you've got a chance? It comes down to OU and Texas. You've got a team that beat the other team, but the other team only has two losses. Let's say it comes down to that.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
See,
then you're just saying it doesn't matter on the field.
But that's what they've already said. Like, they've already said that with Notre Dame and Miami. And, like, I'm going to be as pro Notre Dame as I can be as a fan, selfishly. Like, there's not really a good argument to why Notre Dame is four or five spots ahead of Miami, even though Miami's losses are much worse than Notre Dame's. But, like, but head-to-head just doesn't – it should matter. Like, it should matter. We should see that in – even, like, in the AP poll rankings right now, like we don't see it reflected in any of it. Like, it has to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's really no reason to play the head-to-head. And, like, that to me – bothers me, because then it makes it so you can be Indiana and you can play the Little Sisters of the Poor, which was Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State, where there are three out of conference games.
All right, real quick, Saluki, for $10, where is Kennesaw State?
Where?
Yeah. Don't look it up.
I only know about them because of the college football game, so.
Oh, so you know.
No, I don't know where it is.
No. We all know Kennesaw State. I'm saying anybody. I don't even know where Kennesaw State is.
I don't.
Because Kennesaw is not an actual state.
I'm going to go.
You don't know either, right?
I'm going to go.
Anybody?
I'm going to guess Kentucky.
Okay, Kentucky. I'm going to go Arkansas.
Arkansas? Man. I'm going to say Tennessee. I don't know.
All right, here we go.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Where in Georgia? Kennesaw?
Not sure. In Kennesaw, Georgia.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, sorry,
like,
I digress.
You play, like, these garbage teams, and then, like, you play someone good, like, and you don't get credit for it. Like,
yeah, it's so weird.
But, like, if Oklahoma and Texas were in the rankings, like, close to each other, like, it should be Texas in front of Oklahoma, because they beat them head-to-head. It shouldn't matter.
Doesn't matter what happened with the Florida loss, or
no.
Georgia, whatever.
I don't think so. Like,
it shouldn't matter.
Maybe because
three losses versus two losses.
Yeah, the three losses versus two losses makes it tough. But,
yeah, but you beat that team.
I know.
That's why I love the CFP.
But like,
every week it changes, which is the best part. The committee can just be like, yeah, this week we're valuing this. It's pure mayhem.
Well, and they said they were gonna care about strength of schedule and everything this year. Like that's one of my other issues, is that they changed the... I don't like that they're changing the committee.
You trusted people in power?
No. Not in the SCA. not anything associated with college athletics.
Anything. People in power, you don't trust
them.
I mean,
hell, them. Like, the guy who was on leading the committee just got fired from Baylor.
Yeah,
like,
you don't trust people in power.
Yeah, and like, who can trust Hunter Yurecek? Like, I think a lot of people aren't big fans here. Like, it's... You don't trust people in power? Hell, what's his name just got hired at
Art Briles.
Yeah, Art Briles just got hired at like Northwest Georgia or something like that.
Super D2 or D3
school.
Yeah,
but like he's back coaching in college athletics again, finally.
I promise the people why Klay Thompson calling out Ja Morant is such a big deal.
Tell
it's
me.
The best thing that happened in the NBA in a long time. So over the weekend, there was a dust-up when the Mavericks and the Grizzlies were playing. Ja Morant basically said who the best shooter was. It was his teammate, Spencer. I forgot his name. I'm blanking on Spencer. Not Spencer Hayward. No. Can't be Spencer Hayward.
No.
Anyways, that the name has no bearing on the story. But afterwards, there's a fight. There's like a little pushing, shoving match. Klay Thompson, Ja Morant, who's injured right now, they started talking. Would be awesome to see Ja Morant come to the Rockets, okay? But after the game, Ja Morant, like things cooled down, right? And we thought it was all done. And then Klay Thompson got on the mic in the post-game press conference and unloaded. Not hiding behind sources, not hiding behind a burner account. He straight up said the following things. It was really just running his mouth. He's been running his mouth, Ja, for a long time. It's funny to run your mouth when you're on the bench. It's kind of the story of his career so far, just leaving us wanting more. They just talk a lot, the Grizzlies. They've talked a lot, and they've never really backed it up either. So I don't really respect that. I respect guys who back up the talk with play because talk is cheap. And then he also said it's funny. He's a funny guy. He has a lot to say all the time, especially for a guy who rarely takes accountability.
Yeah.
Yo.
It's good.
This is the best thing to happen.
Well, especially on a day after, like, I don't know, you know, Chauncey Billups pleads not guilty today.
Oh, yeah.
In his federal cases that's coming against him. Like, there needs to be, more NBA
drama. That was poker. Yeah, it wasn't sports betting. Yeah,
kind of.
Totally different.
We need more NBA drama.
We need more NBA. We need more hatred.
Because it's like, it's kind of gone. That's like with the Rockets this year. I hope the Thunder rivalry picks up some juice.
Not because they're too the Thunder are too nice. I don't know if you watch Starting Five, second season. SGA and company, they hang out a lot. They're so nice. Oh, these guys are amazing. They love watching other teams and stuff. There's no hatred anymore. We need that pure hatred. Like, I don't like this guy. I want to beat this guy.
Yeah, it's all gone. Like, it just hasn't. They're all too friendly. They all work out together in the offseason. But like, and see, I wish it was better for the. It'd be better for the NBA if Ja would play and not be a problem for his team.
Yeah.
And whether it's with the stuff that was happening last year with the celebrations and the guns and everything. But this year, like, you know, bailing on his team, then getting hurt pretty much right after. Because, like, I'm a very anti-Ja Morant in Houston. Like, I thought about it at first. But then I was like,
bring him.
I just think he's an Ime guy.
That's why I want him here, is because Ime will hopefully, in the culture that he's created, hopefully will help him stay on path.
It'd be nice.
Just a little bit. I still want that edge to him, though. I want the pew-pew. I want that.
Yeah.
I want the little shooters out.
Just keep him off social media.
Yeah. Just
keep him for celebrations.
Don't drive down Westheimer doing that. That's probably not the best idea.
Probably not. That's where, like, Ja Morant fit in Houston? Like, do you really want him here?
I want him here.
I mean,
He'll help you win a championship. I want him here.
If the price is right, you could sell me on Ja Morant.
Yeah.
But the price is probably like Tari Eason and one of those firsts that's not in 2027.
Bye.
Like, I would do that immediately. We need more.
Like last year, two years ago, Luka and Devin Booker.
Oh, yeah.
They hate each other.
Yes.
I watch because of that. I want to see, like, who's going to get the best of each other. I want to see the drama on the court. I want to see when they're guarding each other. We are a drama society, and the NBA, unfortunately, lacks that. But it lacks that on court. Mm-hmm. There's great drama in the offseason, but in season, there's no drama on the court.
Yep.
We need drama. There's a reason why all these reality shows, all these dramas still get the highest ratings. We love drama. We love that, like, gossipy stuff. So let's do it on the court. And I love that Ja Morant, or I love that Klay Thompson is going after Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. If Ja plays, that would be even better.
But, yeah. For the Rockets, like, I would say maybe now it's the Spurs could be the team. But like but Wemby's out again, like, which sucks. It sucks for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the Rockets, probably for this season. But you have this generational superstar who can't stay on the court and is going to miss another large chunk of time for the Spurs. Like, that to me is where, because again, I think you're right. The Thunder are too nice. Like,
they're too complimentary.
Yeah,
they love the rest of the NBA. I need some hatred.
Yeah, like when the Tyler Hero Amen Thompson fight happened last year at Toyota Center, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so much fun to talk about, to see that unfold. Like, that's what, like, you need the Rockets and, like, the Nuggets, or the Rockets and the Thunder. It's like, add some juice.
Yeah. And say stuff afterwards too, not just on the court. Don't just, like, a push and shove, like, ooh, no, I want Klay Thompson level of petty. Call out somebody, put your name on it, and let's go.
Especially with Kevin Durant here, because we know he's going to tweet about it too.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, which makes it even better. Which is still, does it still feel weird to you that Kevin Durant's a Houston Rocket?
No, I'm good with it.
Really? I
love seeing it.
No, almost in a way, like, I'm like, I can't believe it's happening, because it's just like, it's kind of shocking to still see him again in a Rockets uniform. Yeah. And if you missed it, Kevin Durant's going to miss the next two games dealing with a family matter. So hopefully whatever's going on, best for him and his family. But he will not be out there for the game against the Suns tonight or the Warriors game on Wednesday. So the Rockets will be a little shorthanded. No KD, no Tari Eason. I do think it's a good test for the Rockets because, you know, they haven't played any other back-to-backs yet. Those really start in the post in the 2026 part of the season. Almost all of their back-to-backs are in 2026. I think they only have one in 2025. So this is kind of a good test, these next two games, of just like, what do the Rockets look like now without KD? What's the rotation? Especially now without Tari Eason too. Like, yeah, just how does it all unfold?
All these early games are just like, figure out rotation, see who you can trust, see where you like getting guys, see what it looks like. And then when everything comes back in place, take that data, put it into place, and then you make a run. That's all it is.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk some, let's do some Bad Take Boulevard.
Yes.
There's a take I saw this weekend. Since we're doing only two shows this week in the afternoon, we're going to kind of mix and match some of our segments. But there's one take specifically that I heard over the weekend that like...
Granados. Are we doing Granado today?
Oh, if Granado's got one, then we'll throw that in there too. Because he's always got some takes that are a little questionable. He says Jeremy does, but Granado tweets some things that...
Every radio host has bad takes.
Yeah, I'm accused of
having a lot.
You guys
have so much time to fill.
It's true. It's true.
You're going to have bad takes.
So we'll do Bad Take Boulevard next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up in 2 weeks during UFC 125, during the College Football Championship weekend. Me, Brian, Sean, we'll be out at LaBerge in Lake Charles, hanging out inside the sportsbook. We'll be doing shows on Saturday from 12 to 2, and then on Sunday from 10 to noon on the 6th and 7th. And it's a great time to book an event at the sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. They got their brand new VIP fan cave sections that are available for booking. All you got to do, go to the website, go to the sportsbook. A QR code is going to pop up. They're going to connect you with Pedro there once you scan it, and you'll be able to reserve your spot in the fan cave section. They got brand new menu items already there, but also Chef Lionel, he's going to be bringing new menu items really more into 2026. We started sprinkling them in there right now as specials. Also, it's available to all ages. You can do 20-leg parlays, get all your season-long bets on in right now, whether that's for the NBA season, jumping late. You want to bet on the Houston Texans about where they're going to finish in the division. You can do all that, plus on, you know, all your game day stuff as well. And you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. And don't forget, they're the only place in Lake Charles where you can offer, where they offer a chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Bad Take Boulevard on a Monday here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Raheel Ramzanali here with you until 6 o'clock. Well, Soccer Matters coming up at 6 with Glenn Davis, the Bucky McMillan Show after that. We'll find out in the next, you know, now we got 2 months until we'll find out the college football playoffs should expand. Just want to mention that again. They're pushing back the deadline. It was December 1st, which is next Monday. If they were going to expand next year, they've added a month to that. So we'll wait and see. But over the weekend, this clip went a little viral. You know, athletes doing podcasts. We all say things, Raheel. You know, sometimes you want back. Sometimes you overshare. I feel like LiAngelo Ball, Michael Porter here in this clip, might have not realized how bad they were making themselves look with this take. Mm.
Is tipping culture out of control?
Depends on yes.
If I'm at a restaurant, I'll leave a little tip.
If you're spending $3,000 on a meal, you shouldn't have to tip $600 to me.
I could get like a $400 meal, nigga, and I'm only giving a 10 or a 20 on how you were on that night.
Yep.
Like, that's how I rock, for real. Unless I really, like, you know, I'm trying to flat it, I leave a little hundo out there or something.
So you leave 20% every time?
Yeah. Standard. Your boy, different.
All right, so $400 meal, $10 tip.
Oh, that's brutal.
First part there. Is tipping culture out of control?
Yes, it is. There are, yes, when you're going somewhere, you're getting your own stuff and you're going on a retail store and you check out and there's a tip option, yes, it's out of control. Mm-hmm. It's not out of control when you are eating at a place. All right. It's not out of control. If you're going to order takeout and you're going to order, let's say, $4,000 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
The staff still is working. They're putting a lot of work into your order. So it's not out of control in that. But it is in some manners. Like if you're going to get an oil change.
Yeah. See, that's one of those places where I'm like, you tip, right? But like, you're also,
do you tip at an oil change?
I don't. There's one place I go to where I do. But it's because it's like my wife's, like a family friend.
Oh, okay, so you feel bad.
So it's like they've always gone there.
Yeah.
And like her dad would tip them. So he told me that the first time I took my car there. And I was like, they knew who I was when I got there.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
So I was kind of like, gotta, you know, tip them a little bit. Or I would like bring coffee.
Okay,
like
one that's of the fine.
Like, but like my biggest issue with tipping is the places where like it's not really necessary.
Yeah.
But like it comes up on the screen where like you have to drop a tip in there.
Yeah, and I'll hit
like,
no.
I'm like, I don't want to.
I'll make eye contact with you and hit no.
Yeah, but see, then there's places that don't have the no option or the other option. Like the place downstairs, the conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a restaurant, so you tip, right? They only have their three options. It's either 22, 20, or 18.
Oh, you don't have the 15% there's option
not an
or 20%.
There's not an other option.
Oh, yeah, that's
there's not like, we're like, so if I wanted to tip more, like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, so
but
like,
let's be honest, it's yeah, usually less.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, I think it's out of control in a way. But that is one of the worst takes I've ever heard, saying you don't want to spend, if you spend $3,000 on a meal, you shouldn't have to tip $600.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Because it's like, it just shows like a lack of, especially from them, like being NBA players mm-hmm. and a rapper. Like having no idea like what the real world looks
that's
like.
A great point. Wealthy people don't have an understanding sometimes of what that money, whether it be $20, $40, whatever it is, could help that staff, mm-hmm. right? Because they split the tips at the end of the day. So a $600 tip for a staff that is six deep, that's $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money for people.
Yes.
It's a lot of, especially when you are working the restaurant standards, right? Mm-hmm. The wages. So that is a terrible clip. That's a terrible mindset. But that's something I've learned. Wealthy people don't like spending their money.
Yes.
Yeah. Wealthy people.
They're stingy.
Yeah. The one person, and this I learned this very early, and I'm going to give props to Granado. When I first started in radio, I came up with him, right? Like I was an intern under him. I was working with him in my first job. We had a lot of remotes. And one time I didn't tip. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, they comped our food. It's free food. He goes, no. But he explained it like, look, they still have to do this X, Y, and Z. Like, you got to tip. And you got to tip. And every time I saw him, like, he always tips very generously. Mm. And it's something I've learned from him. I'll be honest. Like, I always tip when it's, like, the right thing to do. Like, I'm not tipping. Again, I'm not tipping.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, family, friend. You're not making the restaurant wages.
Yeah.
When they are making those wages, those tips are huge. It helps them fill that gap, right? So I try to tip 20%. Sometimes I'll go 15 if the service is bad. I'm sorry. We're going 15.
Lowest I'll go is 15.
Yeah.
Like you have to usually.
But if you have crappy service, it's okay. You don't have to tip the whole thing, but.
Yeah.
You know, tip less.
I typically like. Only if like something's like really wrong mm-hmm. will I go 15. Like if I haven't seen you in. If I got a beer and I haven't seen you in 45 minutes mm-hmm. and my beer has been empty the whole time and I'm looking for another one, like I'm like, well. Like I'm still going to get that next beer, but like I'm probably going to go 15% tip.
Yeah, that's what usually for me it's a service related thing, not a food related thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
food related things you can it's fix. You can always tell them, like, hey, this isn't right. Can
yeah.
I just, you know, and most people are cool with it. But if I've told you like 10 times, like, hey, I just need this, can you please get it? I'm like really excited to eat my fajitas with cheese and it's been 20 minutes. Can you get me my cheese, please?
Yeah. 1590 here on the text line says, my tip is, I never tip if I order standing up. So like at like fast food, I guess, would be that occasion.
But what if you walk into a wing joint, right? And you order takeout.
Yeah.
Or you call it by phone. Are you not leaving a tip? Because I feel kind of bad not leaving a tip. Because they still had to prepare all that.
Yeah. That's like my two issues with tipping now have nothing to do with like actual like either being forced to give a tip is I don't like where I want to know more sometimes where the money's going.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I order Uber Eats.
Follow the money. I like it.
The people like if I leave a tip on Uber Eats, I know the driver's getting a tip.
Mm-hmm.
But like what about the people making the food? Like they just get nothing?
No, that's where those Uber fees come in.
Is that what those are all on?
Yeah, yeah. Usually so restaurants will put in a fee. Like I ordered two burgers and there's like $9 worth of fees.
Yeah.
And you know, they say like it's because of the container and this and that. that's the fee. I think that fee is going to the people. Okay. Is my understanding.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one I don't like is I wish places would tell you more about if tips are pooled or not.
It by law, I believe it's all pooled.
No, everywhere. No, you can do individual.
I thought restaurants, it was no.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, restaurants. I believe in Texas by law, it is a pooled jar. I could be wrong, but we did an episode on that.
Yeah,
on CityCast Houston, and that was my understanding was that by law, with the restaurant.
Yeah. See, that kind of bums me out because.
Especially let me look that up.
If I want to leave a good tip for someone that did their job, I'm tipping that person. I wish I could . And sometimes if you tip cash, they can keep more of it. But that's my only issue with tipping is if I'm wanting to tip someone extra for the job that they do, I want to know that all that money's going to them. I think it sucks that they do a great job and then the tipping has to go to other people.
That was I used to work at Marble Slab Ice Cream in college, and one time I had two coworkers who it was so much fun. I put on 18 pounds.
I'm sure.
And I bulked up because I ate ice cream every single day and I couldn't stop. But there were two guys I worked with, Cheech and Chong, that's what I called them, because they would come in just stoned out of their minds. Yeah. And they were cool, but they would never do anything. But one time somebody came in at 8:59 and this guy was like, "Can we please get it?" And I was like, they were like, "No, we're closed. It's 1 minute." And I was like, "Come on in, man. I'll take care of you." The guy left me a $20 tip.
Okay, that's nice.
That was so nice. He's like, "Hey, this is for you."
Yeah.
And he put it in the bowl, and I was like, as soon as he did that, I had to split it with Cheech and Chong.
That sucks.
I was so mad.
That sucks.
I was so mad. I wish he would have slapped my hand. Yeah. Cool guy, here's your tip. And then I would have slipped it and broken some laws, but at least that's mine because I did all the work.
Yeah. And that's my biggest issue with tip.
Yeah.
Is it's just if one person does a great job, I want to reward that person. I don't want to have to take care of all the other waitresses and waiters. I want you to get that money. You deserve it. Philip, 1968 on Twitch says, "I base my tip on my drink in a restaurant. If I go thirsty, bad tip for you." I like that. Because I think that's what tips mostly come down to, is drinks.
Drinks?
Yeah. Because I think most people know food can get messed up. It's not always the waiter.
So service more.
Yeah.
Service oriented.
Yeah. I think drinks is a big one. It's what if I'm out to eat with my dad? I know that's when he gets kind of annoyed. If he's waiting for a refill and we haven't seen someone in a while. Aaron on the text line says 10% for takeout. I'm good with that.
Okay. Something. Leave something for them because they did put in some work.
Yeah. All right. That's Bad Take Boulevard. Just talking about that today. The other nomination we could throw in here was the Aggie math that happened on Twitter the other day. You see this?
No. What was it? I missed this one.
So they said, Paul here said, if you combine the stadium capacity of Texas Tech, 60,000, and Oregon, 54,000, it would still be smaller, 104,000, the amount of fans Texas A&M had at their game versus South Carolina. The problem is that's 114,000, and also there was 109,000 people at the game.
Oh, my gosh.
So Texas A&M math, that is absolute fun.
Aggies, baby.
All right. Speaking of the Aggies, let's talk a little bit more about that game and just some other, whatever we want to talk about for the final segment of the show. That's coming up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Affordability, it's the biggest problem right now in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000. Most people's wages, they haven't just kept up. That's why some people are stuck with these 7-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Just solve the payment problem by visiting dmautoleasing.com, or you can call 713-290-1000 to start getting connected with a leasing agent today. They will go through the entire process with you. They'll figure out the best car for you. If you don't already have a car in mind, if you have a car in mind, honestly, you might get your car within 24 hours, 24 to 72 hours. Once you start this process, everything is done remotely. It's all DocuSign as well. So you don't have to worry about going anywhere. All of it can be done from home, which is a huge perk in all of this. And they'll bring the car to you. You just coordinate with your leasing agent where you want your car dropped off. If you want that at your office, if you want it while you're out at lunch, having a meeting, you want to say, "Hey, I'm going to step out for 10 minutes. I'm going to go grab my brand new car." You can do that with D&M Leasing. Plus, they will take your trade-in for you as well. Just visit dmautoleasing.com right now, or you can call 713-290-1000 for no payments until 2026. Final segment, Joe George, Raheel Ramzanali here on Jeremy and Joe. Raheel will be back tomorrow and Wednesday with Granato and Dell in the morning. Thanks for coming.
Of course, man.
Appreciate
you. Had a blast. And Saluki is with us. We gave a new nickname to Saluki. AJ. Saluki.
Of Soccer Matters coming up with Glenn Davis. So final couple minutes here. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. What's the best and worst person to sit next to?
Okay.
At Thanksgiving. Because it's different for everyone. Like for me, when I'm at my in-law's house, okay, I do enough sports here. I don't want to talk sports.
Okay, good. I'm with you on that.
They don't follow it like I follow it. I don't want to talk sports with them. So fair. It was like
but do y'all have the game on? Whatever game is on. What's on TV then?
Their house? No. We will not. At our house, yes. Yeah. Yeah, Thanksgiving's been an adjustment for me with the in-laws.
Wow. What do they have on TV?
No TVs.
Fox News.
Like, just TV's off. Like, there's no TV on.
Newsmax.
I try to push that thing back as far as possible of, like, when we're going there for dinner, because, like, they eat late. So, like, I'm like, at least give me, like, one of the Thanksgiving games at our house or the parents' house. Sometimes if, like, one of the uncles is there, like, he'll get them to put the game on. But, like, I don't want to talk sports on Thanksgiving.
No, I'm with
like,
you.
Like, I want to
That's the worst up. Person.
Yeah, like, I would rather talk politics than sports, honestly, on Thanksgiving.
So my family, we meet up, all of our cousins, uncles, everybody. It ends up being like 45 people, depending on the year, on who can make it. But everyone tries to make it. Like, this is our one annual thing we do as an extended family, cousins, everybody, right? And then we add people every year, God bless, right? Like, the blessings of young kids, all that stuff. But there's a lot of people. So it's me, my brother, my cousins. We'll all talk sports. We'll have the game on, but it's sensible talk. Right, like, oh, I can't believe tomorrow's Texas A&M. My brother's a season ticket holder. He's going to be there. He's like, I can't believe you're not coming. And then we'll talk about the Texans, and I'll say, like, I think they're going to make the playoffs. We'll do that. Like, it doesn't get too crazy.
Yeah.
But I prefer sitting next to my cousin who works in artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Like, this guy is high level. He used to work in Joe Biden's White House as a policy guy. Like, he was making the policy for AI, right?
Yeah.
So I'll pick his brain and talk to him about the wild stuff that is happening and just sit there fascinated. Like, the journalist in me, I like sitting next to him. Also, the best person, this is a surprising upset, sitting next to a 10-year-old. I love sitting next to my 10-year-old daughter. Here's why. She's at the age where she can eat without making a mess, but she can't eat enough. So then I don't have to get up for seconds. I'll just pick it off her plate.
Great call.
And yes, it kind of sucks talking about that movie, Zombie Demon Hunters or whatever. What's that movie called?
I'm not in that age.
Saluki, you know it.
No, I don't.
Golden Age Zombie Hunters. What is it? Or whatever. Like, she loves that stuff, right? So I'll have to talk to her about that. But then I just flip it on her and I go, remember in volleyball practice you did this? What do you think if you changed it? And then we'll talk sports.
Yeah.
So I like sitting next to her.
I'm at the kids' table a lot at the in-laws, even though I'm a 33-year-old grown man.
Whoa.
So
there's a respect level thing happening here with the in-laws. Sometimes.
So we ended up at the kids' table. Like, me, my wife, her cousins, we end up, like, with our kids at the kids' table.
Yeah, because nobody, don't bring your dirty kids on the big table. Because your kid is what, four
he's
now?
He's four, yeah. And so is his
he's
cousin.
Not big, he's not big table ready yet.
So our Thanksgiving meal, a lot of conversation. We're just going to be talking Mario. Like, we're gonna be talking Mario.
That's fine.
Luigi,
I love it.
Fine with me. Like, I much prefer that than someone being like, start Davis Mills over CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Like give me that all day.
Yeah. I'm with you. The sports topics, especially when I was working here at ESPN, I would get tired of talking sports.
Yes.
Even though I would consume it, I don't want to talk about it because we've talked about it all week. I want to talk about something different. But we will still watch sports. We'll still play sports. Like, it's still a lot of sports-centric stuff. But then it's like, all right, let's just chill a little bit. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, let's talk about what's on TV.
We'll talk about politics.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. It's fun.
Let's talk Landman.
Yo. I haven't watched the second episode yet.
Great. Very good.
Yeah.
Let's talk Welcome to Derry.
What's Welcome to Derry?
Oh, you're not watching that?
No, what's that?
Have you watched It? The movie?
No. Oh, this is the... I'm not into horror stuff.
It's really good, though.
It's scary being a brown man in this world. I don't want more scare in my life.
Yeah, especially with the some of the tones of this show. That makes sense. All right. Raheel, thank you for joining me, man. Appreciate it.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, we'll be back tomorrow. Glad we got to do this for the first time ever.
Thank you, brother. That was fun, man.
Just crazy.
There you go.
I can't believe we've never done this before.
Saluki, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Real.
That will do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Myself, Michael Connor, he'll be back in the morning with Granato and Dell. That does it for us. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis up next. Peace.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.